to see you at this midweek service. Good to be in church tonight. Beautiful sunny weather. And I'm just glad to be in church. I'm thankful for this church. You know, I work all week. I never actually want to go there, but I go. So I'm thankful I get to come to church on Sundays and Wednesdays. And if you want to start having service on Friday nights, I'll be there. I love being in church. I'm thankful for the church. So before we get started, Brother Chris Mitchell, will you open us up with a word of prayer?
I'm sorry, you're talking to me?
Yes.
Thanks. Heavenly Father, what a beautiful day this was. Thank you for all that you've done for us. We can many times be brought to tears by thinking of your goodness to us and all that you do have, and not lamenting and complaining about what we don't have. Help us to be more appreciative and thankful. May the Spirit of God move tonight and keep the person on my mind. And I do pray that you would make his appearance here tonight at some point. Thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Before we get started, I just want to, since we're here on Wednesday night prayer meeting, I just want to say pray for our nation. Pray for these people's hearts that Jesus would get a hold of them. You know, I'm thinking of this another mass shooting that we have here. And I was just thinking about it today. Man, does it just break your heart? Children getting murdered for no reason, and then that shooter also taking their life and not seeing any value in life. It's hard to just get real angry at the shooter, and that is understandable, but then I start to think about what on earth is going on in that person's heart to come to the point to be able to do something like that. And the only answer to that is sin and not knowing Jesus Christ. And it's sad because we live in a country that has everything.
Yes, sir.
And multiples of everything. Now, I heard a preacher once say, they talked about King Solomon and how rich he was. But if you compare us to him, we're more wealthy than him.
Yeah.
King Solomon didn't have air conditioning, he didn't have heat, he didn't have, you know, automobiles, airplanes, all these things that we take for granted. We have everything we could possibly need, and yet we have people out there shooting up elementary schools. And the only answer for this is Jesus Christ.
Hey.
And we're in a society where people reject that,
yes,
and think we're the loony people. We want to talk about Jesus Christ, and yet all of the psychologists and psychiatrists and all of the other nonsense hasn't done a thing to change it. And right away, they just take it to a political thing, and it's the gun's fault. You know, it's gun's fault. It has nothing to do with dealing with the issue at hand of the people that took that weapon. You know, I heard an illustration once that was saying, it's like, how come back in the day when my parents, my grandparents, everybody rolled up to high school in their pickup truck with their rifles in their car, and they took them in their lockers and weren't mass shootings back then, when the guns were right there on the premises? And nowadays, we have people that are getting these guns, and they think gun control is going to stop us. It's not gun control, it's a heart issue.
Hey!
Yes, sir.
I'm like, I borrowed a partial answer for that years ago. When you got out of line, your parents had the right to discipline you.
Well,
now, ever since they came out with this ruling, well, if you discipline your kids, now it's abuse. But now you're seeing the results of that.
Yeah, amen. It's a lack of authority. It starts with us pushing God out of our lives, out of our country, out of our schools.
Hey.
We teach our kids not to trust their parents, to not trust God. And we always blame it on something, and it's just so nonsensical when you think about it. To think about a gun being the reason people are being killed, it's like they didn't have a gun, they grab a knife. They didn't have a knife, they grab a stick. They didn't have a stick, they grab a bat. They didn't have a bat, they run someone over their car. These people are unstable because they don't know Jesus Christ.
Hey.
And it just burned us thinking about it today. It's just, we live in a society where they won't want you to talk about the only thing that could actually make the change. And it's just been heavy on my heart today. And just ask that we pray for these situations, and that we pray that all of us, myself included, would take any advantage we have to witness to people and talk about Jesus Christ. And I know I haven't done the best of that at all times of my life, but people need Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
You might not see people get saved every time you talk about them, but just plant the seed, because hopefully, maybe one day that could be a person that was going to be a mass shooter, and all of a sudden on that day, or whatever the conversation you had about Jesus Christ, or maybe they go home and they get to know them later, or at some point when they're completely down and out, and at their wit's end, they remember the conversation about Jesus Christ who loved them. But and we're in a time and an age that I didn't think I'm going to see in my lifetime. I'm just about to turn 39 next month, and it's amazing how much the world has changed. I don't find myself very old, even though I feel like I'm 112 some days. I don't consider myself to be very old, and I'm young compared to most here. And in my lifetime, how drastic the world has changed, and how much hearts have changed, and how much this country has changed. When I was a kid, we grew up, we sent the Pledge of Allegiance in the school, and it was fine, you could talk about God. You could have brought a Bible to school. And now, they're borderline willing to put you in jail for it. It's just, our country is a mess, this world's a mess, and the only answer is Jesus Christ.
So,
tonight on prayer, I'm just asking everybody to pray for this country and pray for our leaders, and just, I know the time is short, but man, I'd love to see one last amazing revival in the country. It's a shame that we need it in a country that has the ability to freely have church and worship the Lord however they see fit, and yet we're godless and we turn our backs on it. But we want to just pray for that tonight. It's been heavy on my heart all day just thinking about it, and for those families that have gone through it and have lost children, and also the kids that are survivors have to deal with the situation, and none of their friends were killed. Just the trauma of knowing there's a gun in here shooting at people, I can't imagine what that's like, especially at that age. So just pray for that whole situation. But anyhow, if you would turn with me, and if you can, if you're able, stand with me. We're going to turn to page 129. We're going to sit at the cross.
Drift away, though I may sway or the waves may come over the boat, Jesus Christ is my anchor. I'm safe, secure in Him. If you take your Bible real quick this evening before we get into Jonah just for a moment, and look over at 2 Timothy, the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Before we go on over to Jonah tonight, just want to read this here. 2 Timothy 3, verse number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1. Look what the Bible says here. It says this. It says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." All right? So through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul pens to Timothy, his son in the faith, and he says, "Perilous times," means dangerous, hazardous, full of risk. So in the last days, the Bible says that perilous times, not maybe will come, shall come. We're right now. And I appreciate what you said, brother. Guns are not the problem. It's the heart of man. That gun didn't decide to wake up that morning and jump in the hands of a man and take control of the man and drag the man into school. No, the man picked the gun up. And like you said, I believe it. You take the gun away, they'll use a bat. You take the bat away, they'll use a car. They'll run people over with a car. What are you going to do when it happened there in, what, Charlottesville, West Virginia? Was that West Virginia? Where that person ran that car and that group of people? We're going to outlaw cars. We're going to outlaw buses. Because there was a bus that, I think, over in France a few years back ran into a bunch of people. It's the heart of man that is the problem. Because look what it says in verse 2. It says, "Perilous times shall come." Verse 2. Here's the problem. This is today's society. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." I love me. You should love you. It's all about you. You can do anything you put your mind to. No, you can't. You cannot do anything you put your mind to. You got to have the ability to do it, physical ability with some things. I could put my mind to being an F-16 pilot all day long, but I cannot be an F-16 pilot. Or an NBA player. Let's play it that way. Yeah, no, that's not going to work. They might put me on a team, but I am going to be a big hindrance to that team. Okay? This nonsense to think that if you can just think it in your mind and do it, it's not true. It's not true. It's a false hope given to somebody. But what it is, it's self-love. Everything, all the problems today can come back to is probably self-love and pride. We got a prideful nation. It's all about me. "That men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." You're doing good to have a generation today that has two parents in the home. It says disobedient to parents, and then look at this next one, unthankful. Unthankful. I was listening to a preacher today. It's ironic you said that. I was listening to a preacher today, and he talked the same thing you said, but he was referring to Nebuchadnezzar and how we are more rich than some of those kings back there in the Old Testament times. We have indoor plumbing. We have showers, hot, cold. We have air conditioning. We have heat. We have a refrigerator. We have a freezer. We got all kinds of, we got cars. I mean, we could order a plane ticket tonight and by tomorrow morning, get on a plane, and by tomorrow afternoon, we could be somewhere over in Africa. That's how quick we could travel around the world, almost within 24 hours, be anywhere in this world. That's insane. Unthankful, unholy. Look what it says next in verse 3. Without natural affection. It means I can take your life and it won't bother me one bit. We're there today to where you have individuals could shoot somebody and not think anything of it. I mentioned it during Sunday school. I'm telling you, you need to stay away from Disney. And I mentioned it in Sunday school. There's a new series that they're putting out called Moon Knight. And in that series, it's a man that's made up of, it's a three men. It's supposedly one man, different personalities. He blacks out, does things he doesn't realize he's doing. Then he comes to again and realizes, what did I do? And that's the same exact things that some of the kids in the juvenile center said happened to them when they committed their crime. They said, "Chap, I blacked out. I shot somebody. I stabbed somebody. I robbed somebody. And then I came to and I didn't even know what I had done." And I had, sometimes I thought, well, they're just playing it because they want an excuse before the judge. But now with this coming out for all society to take pleasure in, I'm beginning to wonder if it's something to deal with devil possession, to where individuals are blacking out, something else is taking control, then that one thing, when that thing is done taking control and doing its thing, it leaves, and then that person comes back again. We have to be very careful today, brethren. what we subject our minds to, what we subject our ears to, what we subject our eyes to. Perilous times shall come in the end. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. You know what incontinent means? It means unable to restrain discharges. Fierce. Look what it says next. Despisers of those that do that are good. That's us. So this world is going to despise anybody that tries to do good. Good's going to be called evil, and evil is going to be called good. Traitors. You won't be able to trust nobody. Heady. All about their head. They're heady can also mean ungovernable. We got a bunch of people out today. There's no governor. No governor, no restraint. High-minded. Look what is next. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Look, on a Wednesday night, most of you worked. Some of you are tired. Some of you wore out. But you decided to come to church. But how many people decided to stay home tonight because they're too tired and rather watch television or do something else because they rather do something that pleases them tonight rather than coming to church to please God? See, we come to church tonight to please God, not ourselves. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Verse 5 is a scary verse. Having a form of godliness. There's a form of godliness with these people. But they don't know God, but denying the power thereof from such turn away. Scary stuff's going on, but we don't have to be afraid. If we trust in Jesus Christ, he's our Savior. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So take your Bible, look at Jonah tonight, the book of Jonah, there in the Old Testament. Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2. I want to pick up tonight here and looking at verse number, finishing up what we're looking at in verse number, where is it at? Verse number 5. Look at Jonah chapter 2 and verse number 5. So Jonah is in this whale, this belly. He's talking about how low he is. He's compassed with floods and billows and waves. And yet he looks again towards the holy temple and he prays to God. And then he goes on to verse 5 and says, the water compassed me about even to the soul. The depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Lord, I pray you just give wisdom, guidance, and direction. Lord, help us to glean what is here in your word, Lord, that we can apply it to our lives and draw closer to you in these last days that we're living in. Lord, just help us to stay faithful. Help us to be about good works. And help us just to have the testimony of you, Lord, till you call us home someday. We pray these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So last week we looked about this last part he says here in verse 5. He says, the weeds were wrapped about my head. So the Bible says, Jonah says, when he got swallowed up by that whale, again, I can't imagine being inside a whale's belly, that whale getting some air and then nose diving down there into the sea, the Mediterranean Sea. I don't know what he was feeling. I know he was in a place to where there was no light. He says here something about weeds were wrapped about his head. I can't imagine what it felt like to be in there and what was wrapped around him. But he said there was weeds wrapped around his head. And I made mention last week talking about when we're going through difficult situations, situations that may cause us to go into a depression, situations that may cause us to go into a state of maybe despair, situations that may cause us to think that God's forgotten about us, God doesn't hear our prayer, God doesn't know what's going on, we can trust and know that God does know, God does see, and God absolutely knows what's going on in our life. There's not anything that happens to us as Christians that God does not know about or understand. He completely knows and sees everything that's happening. God doesn't take breaks. God doesn't fall asleep. God sees us. God's watch over us. But God may not always answer us, and we might not always feel like he's there. But he is. He's there. But if we let the devil put thoughts into our mind, and we let the seeds that he drops into our mind, and we don't take them captive, We don't bring them to the subjection of Jesus Christ that 2 Corinthians talks about, to the obedience of Christ. If we don't bring those thoughts into subjection and realize and lean upon the promises found in God's word, those thoughts have the ability then to go from the mind to the heart. And a lot of people today, they have a lot of trouble, especially if you're raised without character, is to bring your emotions and your passions into control. He that hath no rule over his own city. Oh, take your Bible, look at Proverbs 25. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Look at Proverbs chapter 25 and look at verse number 28. Looking at thoughts. He said, the weeds were wrapped around my head. Be careful with the thoughts that get wrapped around your head and remove those weeds as quick as possible. Look what Proverbs 25:28 says. He that hath no rule over his own spirit, your own spirit, your own passions, your emotions, bringing those things into subjection. And we read it in 2 Timothy chapter 3, heady. Or heady, however you say it, heady. It means ungovernable. Now, if you have a go-kart or an ATV or even 18-wheelers that we see out here on the roadways, I believe Walmart has a governor on their 18-wheelers, their tractor-trailers, to where they can only go a certain speed. Some trucks, if you look at the back of the trailer, it'll say this has got a governor on it. This truck can only do 65, so don't honk at me because I'm doing 65, because that's as fast as I can go, because there's a governor on it. You see, that truck might be able to go up to 100 miles an hour. It might be able to do 95 miles an hour. But that company says, we're going to put a governor on there so that the max it can go is 65, even though it can do 90. We're going to govern how fast that truck can go so that truck doesn't get us into trouble to where we got to pay tickets. Because our driver wasn't thinking, he got listening to music, and now he's cruising down the highway, and he's doing 15 over the speed limit. Now look, that applies to your life. See, you're supposed to raise your children, or children to be raised to be able to govern themselves, to have self-mastery, to where they can control their passions and their emotions. But a child that's left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. The rod and reproof, the Bible says the rod, spanking, and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. So a child that's not corrected, a child that's not trained, a child that's not brought up to control himself is going to be a little 3 or 4 year old that when they're 3 or 4, they might kick at mom and slap at mom. But when they become 17, 18, 19, it's... I believe that young man that committed, he killed his grandmother. Correct? Right? She's not dead, but he shot her. All right. So he shot her. How could you shoot your own grandmother? I guarantee you, I could almost tell you that boy probably didn't have parents. He probably didn't. I'd probably put money on it that he didn't have a dad in his life. I guarantee you he didn't have a dad in his life. Was never taught to control himself. I want that. You better be quiet and shut your mouth. You say something again, I'm going to knock you across the universe. You say, preacher, you're mean. Oh, no, I'm not mean. Because what do you think God's going to do? You think hell is a nice place? Would you rather have somebody yell at you and get on you and say you shouldn't do something like that, or be all nice and everything and let them do whatever, and then they burn and die and go to hell? Look here, take your Bible and look at, look at Proverbs 23, look at verse 13. You think the preacher's rough. A preacher ought to be rough in the right sense with the right heart. You see, we got a society today that can't govern themselves, and therefore because they can't govern themselves, they can't control their thought life. They cannot control their thought life. Whatever their thoughts say to do, they go do it because they can't control their thoughts. Pick up a gun and go shoot somebody. Yes, I'll go pick up a gun and go shoot somebody. If I'm not mistaken, there's music out there that talks about shooting police officers. We just think that that's innocent, that a kid will never hear that and think, yeah, no, they're just joking or they're not for real. Look at Proverbs chapter 23, look at verse 13. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou hit him lightly with the rod, he shall not die. No, it's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt what? Deliver his soul from hell? That's a good old-fashioned, and if we're on live stream and I get in trouble, whatever, that's called a butt-whooping. Last time I checked, and I guarantee you most doctors in the Lehigh Valley will say that there's no vital organs in this area of the body. Not being mean. There's nothing here vital. So you get yourself a rod. Now, I'm not talking about beating your kids out of anger. Now, that's child abuse. But I am talking about godly correction, the way God set it up to where you tell a child, listen, if you do this, this will be the consequences. So you make it plain and clear to them to where they can understand. Listen, Johnny, if you go over there and you eat a cookie before dinner time tonight, listen, you will get correction. And Johnny's thinking, well, Dad's just messing around. Dad's not really serious. I'm hungry. Go get you a cookie. Dad's not looking. Go over there and eat it. I find out. I say, John, what'd you do? I ate a cookie. All right. Did you understand that? I told you not to. Yeah, I understand. All right. Come on. Let's go suffer the consequences now. And then they feel pain in the right and controlled manner so that Johnny thinks second. He thinks twice the next time he thinks about going doing something that his dad told him not to do. You see, today we have no consequences to when somebody does wrong. Actually, we have excuses of why they did wrong. When in reality, listen, if someone molests a child, they should become a eunuch. I'm going to be nice, but chop everything off. Why? So that anybody else thinks about going to do it, they're going to think twice because of what happened to that man. You go to Singapore and you steal. You go to United Arab Emirates. I was in United Arab Emirates for a couple months. They would have things at the town center. If you got caught stealing, they would take you to the town center in front of all the elders, and they would put your hand right there. And if it was a fact that you stole, they would chop off your hand. I guarantee you, it's going to cause the next thief to think twice, three times, maybe four times before he goes steal something. So what are you doing? You're keeping that man from going and sinning. Because stealing is a sin. That man that thought about it, but he saw the consequences of somebody else, is going to think now, that's the consequences for that crime. And if you bring the gospel to them and say, Jesus Christ died for your sins because you're a sinner, well, I'm not a sinner. Well, God says you broke all these laws, and now he equates that with the laws of man, and he can see God in that, and then he repents and turns to God for the forgiveness of his sins. You see, we're missing all that today. We're missing the authority. We're missing the training, and it starts in the home. And it's not. Then it used to be in the school, but it's not in the schools no more. Some people used to say, "I was with somebody. Who was I with the other day? Oh, somebody on here, I think. I was talking about Mr. Dennis. I was talking about the principal in his school, how he had a paddle in the office, and he was talking about how many times he got a whooping in school. Right? But we don't do that no more." There's no more consequences to actions because you're raising a generation today that has no self-control. They can't control the thoughts. They can't control their emotions. And so not only, listen to me tonight, I don't know why I'm going down this road, but please hear me. So not only is it not happening at home and in society, it used to. You used to get it in the military, but that's quickly going away. The Air Force is a joke. Air Force is a joke, so I can say it because I was in the Air Force. It's a joke. The Army's becoming a joke. The Marine Corps used to be one, and now the Marine Corps is starting to even, not even what it used to be. So it used to be in the old time, if they didn't get at home and they joined the military, they might get it in the military. Now they can't even get it in the military. So that's going down, and you know why that's going down? Entertainment, music, cell phones, television, computers, YouTube, TikTok, nonstop, 24/7 is going up. So you got a generation that's no longer getting anything to control themselves, and they're getting everything in there to say, go ahead and do this, do that, do this, do that, do whatever you want to do. I was sitting down there at Dorney Park this week, the last week, driving home, and I had my windows down, and a car pulled up beside me, And they were playing a song that was so vile, that was so vile, sexual words coming out that no ears should hear. And you're telling me it's not going to affect this generation? I can tell you, brethren, that there's going to be more of what you're seeing going on. And it doesn't surprise me that there was a school shoot. It doesn't surprise me one bit. Because you got, I said it before, it's like a tsunami. That wave's gone out, and everybody's wondering, and that wave is going to come back in, and you ain't stopping it with a hand going like that. This tsunami is coming. We're going to reap what we've sown in this nation. But there's hope in God. You see, you say, preacher, and I said this before, salvation doesn't equate to character. Just because someone gets saved doesn't mean now automatically they have character imputed to them. They could be saved, but now God's got to work on the character. And you say, well, what about an individual who never didn't have the correct home life and they were raised, and now what do they do? Well, God is a good father. So some may say, well, I didn't have a dad in my life, or I didn't have a mom in my life, or but I want to love God and serve God, so preacher, what do I do then? God's a good father. God has a way of training us, of molding us, of pruning us, and making us what he desires for us to be. But it may hurt a little more because we didn't have that pruning and we didn't have that shaping when we were younger. But it can still be done with the Lord. So to Jonah, he's got these, I look at it, he's got these weeds wrapped around his head, these thoughts. I equate it to thoughts that we have to bring into subjection. Take your Bible and look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. One thing that we have to be careful of as believers in the day and hour that we're living in is to not be afraid. I'll say it again. One of the dangers that sheep get startled pretty easy. So it's a shepherd's job, the chief shepherd, and most importantly, but even a pastor's job as an under shepherd to keep the sheep from getting to be afraid. Because when sheep get afraid, they tend to do some dumb things. Right? There was an instance of a flock of sheep. Something scared one of them. And before the shepherd could stop them, one of them ran off the side of a cliff. Before he get in there and do anything, like three or four more ran and jumped off the side of the cliff. Because they got spooked and they got afraid and they reacted and did something that wasn't very smart to do. Because sheep startle very easily. So it's important as sheep, as us as God's sheep, that we don't let things that we hear through the news media or through whatever, that it makes us afraid. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We are more than conquerors. We have the victory. We know the end of the story. We Christians ought not to be surprised that one world government is coming into existence. We ought not to be surprised by that. The Bible says so. So we can rest in the scriptures, know these things will happen, and rest in our Lord and ask God to help us to not have a spirit of fear when it will become very easy to have a spirit of fear. Very easy. So look at Ephesians chapter number 3. And look at verse number 14. Ephesians 3:14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, look what he says here now, to be strengthened. So Paul desires for the church at Ephesus to be strengthened with might, by his spirit, where? In the inner man. Your spirit, the inner man. That the inner man would be strengthened by might, by the might of the Spirit of God. Strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. Why? Look at verse 17 now. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in what? Love. We talked about, I don't know, Sunday at some point I talked about trees. Here it talks about being strengthened by his spirit, where in the inner man, not going out here and joining Planet Fitness so that we can learn how to bench 200 pounds, run a 5-minute mile, work out the outer man. That's not going to help us when it comes to spiritual battles. It's not going to help us. I'm going to say this, though, first before I go further with it. But I do believe as Christians, we ought to try to stay active as much as we can. Because I do think physical does help some in the spiritual. God doesn't delight in the strength of man's legs. But I believe the physical can, in some ways, sometimes affect the spiritual. And understand what I'm saying. It's not good just to be sedentary either. Just to sit on a couch all day and do nothing and think it won't affect you spiritually, it will. But I'm talking about not going out and being a super athlete. I'm talking about if you can go out and walk and get in the sun for a few minutes in a day, do that. If you can go out and do a little gardening or take a walk around the block or whatever you have the ability to do, I think as much as possible, you need to try to move as much as possible. Another thing that is important spiritually is to eat meat. Take your Bible, hold your hand in Ephesians, and look at 2 Timothy. I'm sorry, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 4. Some Christians saying, I don't eat meat, preacher. You need to eat meat. You need to eat meat. Look what 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy 4 says, verse 1. Don't go vegetarian on me now. It's not biblical. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, doing what? Giving heed to what? Seducing spirits. Look at this. And doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Look what they're going to say, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. You need to eat meat. In the Old Testament, you definitely had to eat meat. When that Passover lamb was sacrificed, you had to eat that lamb. You had to eat it, the Passover lamb. So to go vegetarian, what's his name or her name? Oh. Remember her name? There was a individual years back. There was a book written and talked about in the latter days how Christians would go down this path of saying that they don't need to eat meat. And here we are today. You got yoga creeping in. You got Christians saying, "Well, I'm a vegetarian or I'm vegan and I don't eat." No, you need to eat meat. There's something spiritual. Don't ask me all about it, but the Bible says the doctrines of devils to command, to forbid to eat meats. I don't know why I'm saying that tonight. Just a little extra for you. Ephesians chapter 3, look at back verses 17. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in what? In love. We're talking about those weeds wrapped around Jonah's head. And I'm looking at those weeds tonight as thoughts of things that come into your mind and bringing them into subjection to Christ, taking control of those thoughts, taking control of the emotions. And we do that by being rooted and grounded in love. So rooted and then grounded. When you ground something, it's secure to the ground. It's rooted to the ground. Well, how is our spiritual life to be? It's to be rooted and grounded in love by Christ Jesus. So that when the storms come into our lives, which they will, more and more storms are going to come into our life. As our society creeps closer and closer to a new world order, which it is, President Bush Sr. said it back in the 90s, 80s or 90s, he talked about a new world order back then. You can look it up on YouTube, he talked about it. We're on that pace. We're getting there. You had some type of council that Brother Glenn sent me of something going on over there and all these world religions meeting together and the one group they're angry with is Christians. Buddhists, Jews, Catholics, all joining up together, which the Bible said would happen. A one world religion, a one world system, a one world economy. Look where we're going. Going to a cashless society. It's coming. But you know, instead of being afraid, which the devil would like us to do, to live in a state of fear, when you live in a state of fear, you don't have victory, and you're not going to be in the will of God doing what God would have you to do in these last days that we're living in. You see, we need Christian soldiers that are willing to go forward in the fight rather than getting fearful and retreating when they see the bullets start to fly and the artillery start coming in and their brethren around them starting to quit and fall. For in the last days, there should be a falling away. We need Christians that are still willing to go forward in the fight. Why? Because there's still souls at stake. So the devil's going to try to get us afraid. And when you're afraid, you're going to want to run and hide somewhere. You're not going to want to fight the battles. You're going to want to get held up in a room somewhere and just sit in your thoughts. And that could lead to your destruction. There was a good preacher. Now look, I believe in mental illness in this sense. I do believe that things happen in our minds. I fully believe it. I fully believe in depression. I fully believe in despair. I believe in those things. Brethren, there's times where I think I've experienced those things where I'll tell my wife somewhere, I said, I've been having a good day and all of a sudden this black cloud is over me and I have no clue where it came from or why it's over me. I feel like sometimes there's something on top of me and you say, preacher, what is it? I don't know what it is. You say, well, preacher, it's sin. No, there's no sin in my life that I know of. Everything's right with God. And yet all of a sudden now I got this darkness over me. I don't even feel like I want to get up off the couch. What is it? That's spiritual warfare. It's the enemy trying to oppress and get one down. There was a good preacher years ago, Buster Seaton. Good preacher. Couldn't fight the battles. Ended up taking his own life. Good preacher. Good preacher. You see, a Christian, I believe the Bible shows in Proverbs. I believe the Bible, look up, some people don't believe this, but I believe a Christian could end up taking their own life. And I'll give you an example here. Look at Proverbs chapter 25. You say, preacher, how could someone be saved and get to a point to where they take their own life? Because they didn't bring their thoughts into subjection. They didn't bring them under to Christ. They didn't rule their spirit like the Bible says to rule your spirit. They weren't strengthening the inner man like they were to strengthen the inner man. Maybe they allowed things to creep in that they ought never. I don't know why, but all I know is I think it's possible. Because look what the Bible says in Proverbs 25, verse 6. Put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. For better it is that it be said unto thee, come up hither, than thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen. You know what this proverb is saying? What this proverb is saying is let's say the United States of America had a king. Let's say we had a monarchy. You just can't walk into the presence of a king. You really almost couldn't even walk into the presence of princes, much less the king. What did Esther say when Mordecai said, go to the king? And she was his wife. She was the queen. She told her uncle, Mordecai, she said, Uncle, I can't just walk into the presence of the king. And this is her husband. She said, unless the only way I can go into the presence of the king is if I'm invited. And she's the queen. She's the queen. So you take your common person out there in the kingdom, you're just not walking into the presence of the king. But Esther said that, if I do walk into his presence, my life will be spared if he holds out the scepter and I touch it. If he don't hold out that scepter, I'm done. And you know, you read the story later on. She goes in there. The king has grace with her. She touches the scepter and she gives a request to the king. But she knew you can't just walk into the presence of a king. What is Jesus Christ? He's a king of kings and lords of lords. And this verse says here, don't put not forth thyself in the presence of the king and stand not in the place of great men. For better it is said than thee, come up hither than thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the princes whom thine eyes have seen. You know what you do if you're saved and you take your life, you're putting yourself in the presence of the king. And he didn't tell you to come up hither. You're putting yourself there. Now, I don't know all that goes into it. I don't know all that would happen. But I believe if you're saved and you have the Spirit of God, you can get yourself in some pretty bad situations. I believe God will chastise you. But to make a statement to say, well, nobody that's saved would ever take their life, you better be careful with that statement. You better be very careful with that statement. I don't think a Christian would ever drink alcohol. Better be careful with that statement. I don't think a Christian ought to drink alcohol, but I know there's probably Christians out there at some time had done some of that. Smoking, taking drugs, in a weak moment, say, I quit. I'm tired of this. You don't look, we don't know, brethren, let us not take lightly the powers of darkness. Now, I'm not trying to magnify Satan tonight. I'm not doing that. But I think sometimes Christians underestimate the powers of principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. I don't know why I'm going down this road tonight, but there's stuff going on out there that we don't understand and we don't know. When you have an angel that has a message from God to bring to a man that loves God, basically bringing the answer of prayer to this man, and that angel gets hung up for 3 weeks because he's having to battle spiritual entities out there to get the message from God to Daniel, I think we have no clue what goes on out there and how it affects us spiritually. Brethren, I believe this, the more you try to get in the fight, the more you try to live for God, the darker the days sometimes will be. And the more of a fight you'll get in, and the more times you're going to think, I just want to quit. I'm tired of the fight. I'm tired. Look, most of us, most Christians want a 9-to-5 Christianity. They wake up, clock in at 9 o'clock in the morning, clock out at 5 o'clock, and then that's good. Most of those Christians that live a 9-to-5 Christianity, they have no clue what I'm talking about because they ain't in the front of the battle. Read about some of these soldiers in World War II as they stormed Normandy and they were stuck on some of those beaches for weeks because of the artillery and everything, and they're living in a foxhole that's got water up to their knees and the supplies haven't come in for weeks and men are dying of dysentery. And you don't think it gets a little dark with one of those soldiers? To where they don't think of, forget it, it's not worth it, I'm just going to end my own life, or I'm going to go run out here in a blaze of glory and just have somebody. What you see in the physical so often is true in the spiritual. If you're in a spiritual battle and fight, you can expect the enemy to pour it on. Days of darkness still come o'er me. Sorrow's paths I often tread. But the Savior still is with me. By His hand, I'm safe led. Days of darkness still come o'er me. Dear Christian, tonight, if days of darkness are coming over you, you're not alone. These same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren as well that are fighting a good fight of faith. That's why Paul says in Ephesians, real quick, we'll close here tonight. That's why Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, that's why you need to read your Bible, study your Bible, stay in your Bible. He says in Ephesians chapter 3, strengthen with might by the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now he talked about being rooted and grounded in love. I want you to read one last verse, and it's in 1 John chapter 4. Rooted and grounded in love. We need to stay in the love of Jesus Christ. Stay in the love of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter, 1 John chapter 4, look at verse number 7. Love, rooted and grounded in love. 1 John 5, look at verse 7. Just bear with me as we read through these scriptures, but look what these scriptures say. For there are three that bear record in heaven. I'm sorry, 1 John 4, verse 7. I'm in the wrong place. All right, here we go. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. So how did God show us his love? Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. See right there? How did God manifest his love to us? He sent his Son to die for our sins. You place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You believe in Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross of Calvary, that he can take away your sins, and you come to him by faith. Look what happens. Look at the last part of verse 9. That we might live through him. Here in his love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, basically the atoning sacrifice for our sins, propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Look, I'm almost done tonight. I'm going to finish up with these scriptures right here. Rooted and grounded in love by Christ. One reason you might have some spiritual battles is because you're giving ground to the enemy because you're not loving one another. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. We got to love one another. We might not like one another sometimes, but we've got to love one another. Look what he says in verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. So throw away any books that anybody says they've gone to heaven, they ain't gone to heaven. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. It's not talking about sinless perfection. That word perfection or perfect, perfected there, it means complete, full, rooted, and grounded in love. You're a complete, full soldier that is equipped to go into battle. You're strengthened by in the inner man. Perfected in us, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us his Spirit. Now we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Now, these last verses. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Now look at verse 18. There is no, look what it says, no fear in love. No fear in love. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. You say, preacher, I'm tormented in my mind. I got things going on my... How's your love? How's your love? Do you have bitterness? Do you have a root of bitterness instead of being rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus and in his love? Have you let a seed of bitterness get in there and it's found root, the root of bitterness? Has that found a place in your heart and it's keeping you from loving others that you ought to love and therefore making you weak? It says here, fear, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear because fear hath tormented. It could be a love problem. I'm going to close with this statement. Are you loving Jesus Christ like you ought to? Are you loving him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Or are you just loving him half-heartedly? You see, if you're just loving the Lord half-heartedly, you're giving place to fear, which gives place to torment. Torment where? Right here in your mind. Now, I'm not saying that if you're doing everything you're supposed to be doing, that you, okay, I won't have torment no more, I won't have darkness no more. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that if you are having those, one of the problems that you maybe check up on the love thing first. Is there a problem with love? And have you let fear creep in because fear's got torment? Just some things to think about, brethren. Jonah said he had weeds wrapped around his head. And how many people today are struggling right here in the mind? Seems like a huge battle right now for a lot of individuals is the mind. The mind, the thoughts in the mind. And sometimes it just drives them crazy. Talked about it before with sheep. They have that bot fly. And that bot fly will fly up and lay its eggs on the nose of a sheep. And then when those eggs hatch, those worms will go up into the nostril of that sheep, up into the cavity up here near their brain, and will just bore up in there. And it will drive a sheep so crazy, a sheep will run its head into a tree and continue to run because of that worm that's bored itself up into its brain cavity. A lot of Christians have let thoughts get in there, and it's boring on it, and it's driving, it's tormenting them. Could one of the reasons be it's a love problem? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Lord, I pray some of these things made sense, dear God. Lord, I pray you'd help us all, myself, Lord, first and foremost, dear God, to check up on my love for you, dear God. Help me to love you, Lord, with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, dear God. And Lord, I pray you'd help all of us as believers, dear God, as these dark days we're getting ready to go into are already in partially, Lord. Lord, that we wouldn't go into these days with fear, with a spirit of fear, but we would go into it with the love of Jesus Christ. Lord, that we would know that you love us, Lord, no matter what happens in our life, Lord. If you allow it, Lord, there's a reason for it. And help us to realize that you love us beyond comprehension. Lord, help us to be rooted and grounded. Lord, help us to be strengthened by the Spirit in the inner man. Lord, help us to renew our mind on things that are lovely, pure, honest, of good report. Help us to meditate upon those things, Lord. And help us, Lord, not to get discouraged by all that's going on around us. But help us to be that light in this crooked and perverse nation that we dwell in. And we'll give you the glory and honor and praise for it. We ask these things now in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.